Welcome back. You're here with Dave and Andrew. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. And Andrew, listen, we've gone through an election recently, a federal election, and you know, with the conversations that we've had and calls we've taken from clients and friends and so on and so forth, there's a lot of concern amongst Albertans with the outcome of this election and whether or not we're being heard and what policies we might expect to see and the impact it's going to have.
Well, I think concern and fear come into grip because people just don't know, and they're concerned about what's going to happen to them. You know, how is this going to continue here in Calgary,
right,
or the rest of Alberta for that matter? What's going to happen to oil and gas? You know, lots of things on people's minds right now.
Right, and those are all our politically sensitive words.
They
right?
are politically sensitive.
Okay, we've got Moshe Lander, who's a professor of economics, works at Concordia University, but he's also teaching at Dalhousie. He teaches at the U of C, so I think he's going to have an interesting perspective on this. But Moshe, we caught him just as he was getting off an airplane. He was good enough to give us some time, so that's terrific. If you hear some airport music in the background, that's just because he's there. So, hey, listen, Moshe, I want to thank you very much for taking some time with us when you're on the run.
No worries. My pleasure.
All right. Let's get right to it because are we going to see any major policy changes under the Liberal government this time with that NDP kicker on it? And if so, what do you think they're going to look like?
Well, I guess the starting point is when you're saying changes, that implies that they had policies to begin with, right? So I'm not exactly sure what their major policies were in their first term. Of course, they passed basic types of legislation and things like that. But, you know, now that they have the NDP riding coattail and they're going to be the ones that prop them up, we're going to see policies that are clearly more of a left-wing tinge than something more in the center, certainly not something that's going to be center-right. So I think a little bit more on the environment and a little bit more on kind of the anti-energy policies that scared a lot of Albertans in the last government is probably what we're going to see coming up this time around.
Well, that is just going to enrage everybody in Alberta and Saskatchewan. And, of course, you are seeing some of that clearly with, you know, the different movements that are creeping up. So let's talk a little bit about then specifically the impacts. So given this left-wing tinge to it, and certainly Liberals are going to have to work with the NDP if they want to pass legislation, and we all know what that could potentially mean for the energy sector. Walk us through some of the things that we could expect to see. And then, you know, if you've got any input for Albertans on perhaps how we can voice our opinion to influence that, we'd love to hear it.
Sure. So, I mean, let's deal with the one that really matters to Albertans, right? And it's TMX. Right now, that is owned by the government, and the government needs to figure out a way to get that project running, and they also need to figure out a way to get it off their hands.
Yep.
They spent over $5 billion on that. And the reality is that they're probably not going to get that money back, which means the taxpayer will end up footing the bill for whatever ends up going through. I think what the Liberals are probably going to be dragged into doing is to try and ensure Indigenous group support for the pipeline. They're going to try and make sure that that pipeline is as environmentally friendly as a pipeline can be. And so I think that's going to slow down the process, and that's also going to reduce some of their leverage in being able to get the best asking price when they try and sell it off to an actual corporation that's going to run the pipeline. So that's probably the biggest one that should keep Albertans awake at night is, are they going to be able to do that? And with the Conservatives smelling blood here, how much are they going to themselves become an impediment to the sale of the pipeline? Because they're going to keep insisting on moving it towards a more pro-business stance than a pro-environmental stance.
Okay, so let me put you on the spot. You think it's ultimately going to go through? Pipelines are going through or not?
You know what? It depends on how long this government lasts. This is not going to be their first policy. It's not going to be their first priority. So if they can last the full 5 years under a minority government, there is a chance that this thing will finally be off the books and back where it belongs in private hands. If this government doesn't last 6 months, it's not getting done. So it really is just a matter of how stable is the NDP support and how much do the NDP want to try and leverage that they're the kingmakers in this government to extract stuff out of the Liberals.
You're a professor of economics. What is, you know, I think Albertans would generally understand there is a national economic issue at stake here. It's not just provincial, although we're feeling it, but Talk to us about what the rest of Canada needs to understand about the economics of having pipelines and getting this natural resource that we have out of the ground into international markets.
It's really simple. It's you know, you can be as pro-environment as you want, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And you can be kept awake at night worrying about climate change, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the facts on the ground is that Alberta and part of Saskatchewan and part of BC are extremely reliant on energy, and Canada has been blessed or cursed with a tremendous amount of it in the ground. And leaving it in the ground provides no economic value. So you absolutely need to get that out of the ground and into the consumers that value it the most. And that can only be done with pipelines. It's not of any use just being left in Alberta. So you know, the moment a pipeline crosses a provincial boundary, that becomes federal jurisdiction, and the federal government needs to ensure that whatever pipelines are necessary are built to get that to the end consumer, whether that's out to the West Coast so that it can be shipped to Asia, or whether that's to Eastern Canada where it can be shipped elsewhere, or even consumed here in Canada or in the U.S. It has to be done. What you can do is you can start preparing for a post-energy life, but that's not now.
Right.
So to try and make that the case now is just not facing the reality that until the Alberta economy can diversify away from oil, it's not good economics.
Yeah, and there is a national impact, a GDP impact. Like you said, this is a national resource, happens to be located in, you know, certain provinces, but it's a national resource, and we have got to utilize that nationally and provincially. What else can we expect from the Liberals? What's the quick wins that the Liberals and NDP are going after, and the impact on Alberta?
Well, you know what? The issue, of course, is the budget, and that was one of the things that they promised in their first election run, which was that they were going to balance the budget in the first parliament, and they didn't.
Right.
There is no compelling reason why they have to balance the budget within a certain time frame, but they need to focus a little bit more on kind of the tax base and where that money's coming from. And Alberta, of course, is getting very upset that the system in place of the way that the tax dollars are distributed among the provinces doesn't seem to be very equitable. And so I think that there's a chance here for the Liberals to try and win a little bit of favor in Western Canada by reviewing the system of equalization payments and the insurance schemes that are involved that try and help distribute those tax dollars across the provinces in an equitable way. If they want to get some cheap points there, say let's look into that and see if there's a way that we can modernize it and make it a little more reflective of the current state of economics in this country rather than an old formula from a decade ago.
Well, you know, the most recent stats I read is Quebec has received something in the order of $46 billion over the past 5 years, and Ontario maybe just a tad shy of $5 billion. And if, you know, as an Albertan, I'm thinking over the last 5 years, it hasn't been particularly good here. I think you're right. I think that everybody in Alberta would agree with that particular position. But let's hope that, you know, there is a review of that done, because that's one of the areas, Andrew, that is just, I mean, we hear just absolute rage, right, with what's going on in this province and transfer payments still moving out.
Well, that's a big factor. But, you know, while I've got you, Moshe, can you just give me an idea? Like, what do you think the NDP is going to do if they're going to be the kingmaker in this thing? What kind of policies or pushes might they get the Liberals to do in order to keep them in power?
Well, you know, we saw during the election that some of the policies they were proposing were extremely scary, not scary in the sense that left-wing, right-wing, scary in just terms of budget-breaking promises of huge spending increases on a variety of issues that they didn't have a policy for how they were going to fund those things. So the issue is, do they want to try and kind of peel off that, you know, big party liberalism, which goes all the way from the left to the center, and do they want to try and pick off those left wingers in the Liberal Party and say, hey, if you want us around, then we need big spending plans that they were offering in terms of health care spending, in terms of education spending, in terms of kind of the big social programs and, you know, all valuable, but probably not the right time for it either. So, again, if Alberta is being a net contributor into the budget there, hey, that's Albertan tax dollars that are being used for those sorts of things. And when Alberta right now is suffering under a government that wants to desperately balance the books at the expense of cutting funding out of Calgary and out of Edmonton, is that going to just even further enrage at least the big city residents of Alberta?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, Moshe. Thank you. We can't do justice in the time we have, but we have come up to our limit. So I want to thank you very much for taking time with us, particularly since you're on the run.
No worries, my pleasure. Thank you very much.
We've been joined by Moshe Lander. He's a professor of economics at Concordia University. We've got to make sense of all of this, and we've got to get people through retirement and enjoy their lives, right?
That's
despite
right.
whatever political regime is in place. Let's talk about that at our upcoming seminar.
Yeah, we want to help people profit and protect and, you know, worry about these markets as they've gotten a little choppy as of recently. So please join us for our seminar Tuesday, November 19th, 7 p.m. at the Sheraton Four Points, Calgary West. That's across from COP. Give us a call to register at 966-8400. Or go online at morethanmoneyradio.com.
You're interested about what kind of planning you should be doing from an income perspective and a tax perspective at the end of the year? Stick around after the break. We're going to talk about that. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.